This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. More analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, welcome to Baseball Central. My God, it's August 31st. Today the 30th of the 31st. Anyhow.
31st, we were just told. Happy 31st.
A week from tomorrow, the kids will be back in school.
Well, are you excited?
No, I'm not.
No?
I'm at that age where time goes by too quickly.
Oh.
And I like summer holidays. And I like having my daughter at home. However.
Yeah, my son's at the fun age, too. He's learning everything. It's kind of cool.
Wiggly gets to high school.
Oh, and he's teaching you. He's teaching me everything, then.
I can't wait for that to happen. It is Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. The Toronto Blue Jays culminating a weekend sweep of the Detroit Tigers with a 9-2 win yesterday. Yet another offensive blitzkrieg by the Blue Jays. And another home run for Josh Donaldson. The hell's that guy's name? Edwin, whatever.
Yeah, he's hard to forget. Yeah.
I'm calling this Edgust, by the way.
You are?
This month is Edgust. I'm doing a column on Sportsnet.ca. This is the month of Edgust.
Sometimes you earn Edgust.
Not August.
The right
this
to
is,
rename, to,
this is
to make
Edgust.
Up words. I think he's earned the right.
What did Wilner say? If he goes 0 for 14 tonight.
Can you go 0 for 14 in one game?
No, not even not with Danny Salazar. If he goes 0 for 14 tonight, he'll still set a club record for OPS in a month, which is just sick. Anyhow, we'll talk about the weekend's results and look ahead to the Cleveland Indians series, which starts tonight at the Rogers Centre with David Price on the mound. We'll do that in a few minutes. We'll have Drew Rosenhaus of the Cleveland Indians broadcaster. Sorry, Jim Rosenhaus. I'm thinking of Drew Rosenhaus. See the agent, I think. Anyhow, Jim Rosenhaus. Mm. Cleveland Indians radio play-by-play guy will be along at 12:30, and we'll get his take on the Indians. And also, I guess, the big news today, the Toronto Blue Jays, or more specifically, Rogers Communications, have announced that Mark Shapiro has been hired as Paul Beeston's replacement to be president of the Toronto Blue Jays. And a news conference will be held, depending on how you want to look at it, will be held at 1 o'clock. We will carry it live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet. I'll sit in for the first segment of Brady and Walker, and Greg and I will walk you through the news conference, which is being held in Cleveland. There's a lot to say about this announcement. I'm not sure yet exactly how you frame it. Mark Shapiro is a guy who, if you read the press release, is coming in to replace Paul Beeston as president and CEO. Beeston will retire at the end of the season. You already know that. Mark Shapiro will join the team after the end of the season, will join the organization after the end of the season. He will hold a news conference in Cleveland today. That will be, we're told, the only time we'll hear from Mark Shapiro until the end of the season. Couple of things to bear in mind. As far as we know right now, all indications are that Mark Shapiro's, one of his first priorities is going to be to retain Alex Anthopoulos as general manager, as it should be. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've said, quite frankly, I've written this and I've said this, and I'm certainly not going to pull back now, that I would just as soon the Jays have hired a hardcore business guy to run the business operations with the team and the Rogers Center and let Alex have free reign over the baseball operations. But that's fine. I mean, we don't know how this job is being structured. And Mark Shapiro, in the past couple of years with the Cleveland Indians, as their president, has become less and less involved in the day-to-day activities of the on-field group. In other words, he's become less involved in the day-to-day activities of the organization involving players and things of that nature, and more involved in some of the other issues, some of the business issues around the team. And I would say he's had a mixed success in that regard. Now, the Indians have been overachievers. The Indians have also been unable to stem the flow of fans for the most part out of their ballpark, which is only 20 years old, and which is actually a pretty nice ballpark. So having said all that, there's no point really in trying to figure out what this means for Alex until we know where the delineation of job responsibilities are. Again, all the national reporters, people like Ken Rosenthal, who, quite frankly, Ken Rosenthal and Mark Shapiro go back to when they were kids. Mark Shapiro's dad, Ron, was a very well-regarded Baltimore-based player agent. He had Cal Ripken. He had Ken Singleton. He had Dennis Martinez. I can remember as a young writer.
He was my age.
Shapiro was your age.
Sure was, yeah.
There you go. And mm-hmm. I can remember as an agent or as a young writer, this is back before the internet, I can remember in the off season you always kept in touch with agents because you wanted to find out what was happening with the players, contract mm-hmm. negotiations. Ron Shapiro was like him, Tom Rich, and Tom Rich's assistant, Adam Katz, at the time, were like the best guys for me to deal with as mm-hmm. a writer. Shapiro was phenomenal. So Kenny Rosenthal covered the Orioles when Shapiro was based. So yeah. If Ken Rosenthal writes what Mark Shapiro is having for breakfast this morning, it's 150% right. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing that out there. Anything you read from Ken Rosenthal about Mark Shapiro, or anything you hear from Ken Rosenthal about Mark Shapiro, take it as gospel. He has said that Mark Shapiro's priority is to get Alex signed. So we'll throw that out there right now. Again, we don't know the delineation of job responsibilities. A news conference is at 1 o'clock. It's an interesting hiring, given some of the things that have to happen to the Rogers Center down the road. But again, we'll just need to wait and see. And Kevin, I'll ask you, Ron was your agent. Did you know Mark at all? Cause Mark worked with his dad's agency before he got involved in baseball management.
No, I do not know him. I just know, my agent, was a very nice man. He did everything he could do to, get me where I needed to be, get me, you know, jobs, other places than the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, end of my career, I was trying to go to Japan and Korea, and, you know, they were very good at doing things of like that. It was not all about big leaguers.
Yeah.
It was about the entire baseball organization, and I was a part of that. You know, I wasn't so much in the big league part of it, but everything else, meaning winter ball and overseas, all of these things where you could make money towards the end of your career, they were very, very good at that and kept in touch with me until the very end. And it was, you know, it's a very good situation. Yeah. I think this is more of a younger thing to me. It looks like it's the Blue Jays are trying to go in a younger sort of,
he's only 48. So
yeah. You know,
young.
sort of a trying to bring that young sort of Donaldson kind of attitude mm-hmm. towards the Blue Jays. And I think this is what this hiring is all about.
Yeah, and so as I said, he comes from a baseball family. His father, Ron, was a well-regarded agent. One of the things all of Ron's clients that I knew with the Expos and with other teams all had one thing in common. They all had their money taken care of. Like they were all, yeah. Everything was, you know, they've all done really well post-playing days. So
that's what it's all about, right? Making money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And taking care of yourself and your family. Yeah, so I'm throwing that out there. He comes from a baseball family. As Kevin said, he's young. He's 48.
Yeah.
The other thing, and this, I think, probably says good things about where this relationship will go with Alex Anthopoulos. First of all, Alex has used him as a sounding board in the past. And if you talk to any young GMs in baseball, they'll tell you that Mark has always kind of had, even for a guy who's only 48 years old, there's always been a mentorship relationship between himself and a lot of other young GMs. The other thing about him is the people who worked with him are unfailingly loyal to him. Mm-hmm. There was not a lot of turnover in the Cleveland Indians organization when he was given broader powers. He's not a guy who has to come in and, quote unquote, get all my guys in place and have a bunch of yes men around him.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing to keep in mind is Terry Francona, his manager in Cleveland, thinks so highly of him that he has an out clause in his contract that says if Mark Shapiro were to leave, then I am in a position to exercise an out clause in my contract and leave as well. So no indication yet Terry Francona is going to do that. But I'll tell you what, if the manager thinks so much of you that he throws in his contract, hey, if this guy goes, I want to at least have the option.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is the Jays are getting a real good, smart, young baseball guy. And that's great. But I think a lot of us need to see how that dovetails with what Alex has done. Because to my way of thinking, Alex Anthopoulos deserves...
he's earned the job.
He's earned the job. He's earned the job.
In this business, it's all about results. And Alex has definitely had results, especially since the All-Star break. So how do you not go further with Alex? That would make no sense to me.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see, again, where this goes. The news conference is at 1 o'clock. We'll carry it live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan on Sportsnet. Drew, I booned it again.
It's Monday.
Jim, it is Monday. Boy, is it ever Monday. Jim Rosenhaus, Cleveland Indians radio play-by-play man, will be along at 12:30. We'll talk to him about Mark Shapiro and his impact on the organization. So we'll deal with all that. But let's talk a little bit about the on-field product. Oh. Baseball, the Jays, 74-56, a game and a half up in the Yankees, who just absolutely demolished the Atlanta Braves yesterday, 20-6. The Jays, 9-2 winners. Mark Burley, six innings. Mark Burley said after the game that he's searching right now.
And yeah, he looks old. First time, you know, I've said that a couple of starts now. He looks like age, like he's been throwing a lot of innings lately.
Well, and people have noticed, you know, velocity is never his strong suit, but his velocity has been down 2 miles per hour in his last couple of starts. But still, six innings, five hits, two runs. Got some great defense, two walks, two Ks. You know, the thing with Mark Burley, I talked to one of the Jays uniform people yesterday before the game, and we were talking about Mark Burley. And the thing the guy said, and I'm not, don't want to use his name, but the thing he said about Mark Burley is, you know what? He said, even when he's horse bleep, he's manageable. Like you can, even when he's horse bleep, Russ Martin and the catcher can figure, you can figure things out. You can be a little creative.
You can't teach experience. A younger guy.
We saw that yesterday a couple of times.
A younger guy that would go through this instead of throwing slower would try and throw harder.
Exactly.
When you throw harder, it gets flatter.
Exactly.
It's up. Up and flat means the ball gets hit hard. Mark Burley goes just the opposite of that. He figures, if I'm not doing well, what do? I pitch under hitting speed. I throw it slower, and it works. It's a veteran guy that knows his body, knows how he throws, knows how he can get outs, has been through this, obviously, before this time of the season, and knows how to do it. And you see this. Every team needs a guy like Mark Burley. This, and the Blue Jays have that. They're very fortunate. It's to me, it's not something you worry about because of all the other assets the Blue Jays have, defensive-wise, offensive-wise. They're the best in baseball right now, and it's all of these things add up to it's showing, and they're winning.
The Jays got more home runs yesterday, four home runs for a second day in a row. That's the sixth time this season.
Who's leading off yesterday?
The Jays have hit an ML best 184 home runs. They have three players with 30-plus homers for the third time in club history. They've won 8 of 10. Edwin's hitting streak is now at 25 games. He's got 35 RBI this month, and only two players have had more RBI in August since 2000. Ryan Howard, he had that sick 2006 run where he had 41 RBIs, and Sammy Sosa had 36 in 2001. And the home runs yesterday, again, Russ Martin, Kevin Pillar, Edwin, Josh Donaldson, and
you know your team is really
Ben
good
Revere.
When Russell Martin is hitting seventh in your lineup.
Yeah, Ben Revere did lead off, by the way. And
I thought you were ignoring me.
I was not going to ignore you.
Do you think it has something to do with me asking
Gibby?
You think I talked him into it?
No.
No.
Probably not,
but it makes a lot of sense. At the time. Right now, it makes a little bit of sense. Now, down the road, when Troy starts getting hot and hitting balls all over the place, and we saw him get a hit to right field, which means you let the ball travel, you see the ball, you can just do what you normally do. That means you're starting to get red hot, but it makes sense. It takes pressure off of one of your best players. It puts him down the lineup, and people start to forget about him. That's how you get him hot. It's very smart. You know, we joke about me asking the question, and it's something you have to ask because it would make a little bit of sense, and it makes sense right now. may not make sense a week from now or 2 weeks from now, but right now the way Ben's swinging the bat and getting on base as much as he is in front of all the big boys, it makes a lot of sense. But when I get back to your point.
See, I told Gibbons yesterday, I went into his office and said, I just want to thank you because now every jerk off in the city is going to be calling up when I'm doing primetime today and saying, I told you so. Ben Revere should be leading off. Gibby said he really didn't care what impact it had on
he did
talk
not.
Radio.
But it gets back to your the bottom of your lineup was Russell Martin was 2 for 3 with 2 RBIs. Pilara was 2 for 3 with 2 RBIs, and Goins was 1 for 4 with 2 RBIs. That means your team's really good because then you start getting into that meat of that order, 1 through 5,
mm-hmm.
and you add Justin Smoke to that lineup. What we're seeing is. Early in the season, I mentioned, or last year we even mentioned, the pitching staff would make stupid pitches at stupid times, meaning a guy would foul 2 fastballs off, super late, he would throw a breaking ball.
Yeah.
We don't see that anymore.
No.
You're just trying to get people out. And then we saw Justin Smoke yesterday. Edwin, I thought, led off with a double or got on second base. Justin Smoke gives himself up to get the guy to third base with less than 2 outs. Now you ask, well, why is that a big deal? Well, it is because we talked about this. This is a money game. It's a results game. It's all about how well you do, and it's all about stats. We all know that it's about stats. And a guy like Justin Smoke, he's buying into the team part of the game. It's all about winning. You say that because it's a money game. The more stats you have, the more runs you drive in, the more money you're going to make. That's what's so impressive about this team is all they want to do is win. And when you have 1 through 25 trying to do that and they're as talented as they are, and then you add a David Price to that,
mm-hmm.
that means a lot of teams are in trouble, and we're seeing that right now.
I want to throw out my good friend Arden Zwelling of Sportsnet.ca, his game story, which is on the Sportsnet.ca website. Lots in it from Russ Martin. And I can tell you this, that everything aside, everything we saw yesterday, one of the things that I came away from that game thinking, and after talking to Russ Martin after the game, that might be the happiest I've seen Russ Martin in the clubhouse for a long time. He and both Arden and I said to him, and it was actually Arden asked the question about where you are physically right now, and he said, this is like the best I've felt in a long time. He looked so much better yesterday. Well, he looked better Saturday, stealing that base.
He does. Well, he's healthy. Let me ask you this. You've been around baseball a lot. Does it matter when a guy doesn't use batting gloves?
I asked him about using batting gloves, not using them, and he said, I've done it 3 or 4 times in my career. Every time I've done it, I've gone off.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it's one of those things, he said, I stick in my back pocket. Mm-hmm. If I'm scuffling, I do it. He said, what was his word? He said, I feel like I'm going up there naked when I don't have the batting gloves on. And he just said, I did it because I associate positivity with it. I did it because every time I've done it, it's worked out. And clearly, it worked out again yesterday. And it's got to feel different, man. It's got, and you know what guys are doing when they're scuffing. Guys will try anything.
Yeah, that's why.
Did you do that as a hitter?
No, I could not do it. It feels really weird. It's really hard on your hands. You can't. But I will say that now they've added they wrap the stuff around the bat,
that
which
tape,
makes the bat a little bit easier to handle.
Yeah.
Whenever I was playing earlier in my career, I don't even think they had that.
Yeah.
Well, at least I don't remember, but. It's very uncomfortable. It's a very uncomfortable thing to even walk to the plate like that. It's like he said, you feel naked. But again, it gets back to it's a mental thing. If I do just a little bit of thing to change it up, it's going to give me that much of an advantage. And you know what it is? He's thinking about his hands other than going up and making an out. And that's what it's all about. It's changing your thought process, walking to the plate. And if it works, don't fix it. And right now, the using the no batting gloves, that's working. So I'm sure we're going to keep seeing it.
Who are the best hitters you've seen not use batting
gloves? Marquise Grissom and Moises Alou was the two biggest.
You know who else didn't use batting gloves?
Non-batting glove guys in the who was that?
Vladimir Guerrero.
Yeah, it's
never
it's,
used batting gloves, and which is odd considering what he did with the bat, how he was able to it was like watching Mickey Hatcher, his old hitting coach. With the Angels said it was like watching a guy hit a baseball with a tennis racket. because he said it didn't matter where the ball
went. Very hard on your hands. It's very hard to do. And those guys didn't use the tape. They just went up and straight used pine tar and bat and, well,
and urine.
That's Moises.
He did 100%. That's what he did
to make his hands harder.
Exactly.
Because it's that hard on your hands. So, no, I was a bit of a girl. I couldn't
People don't believe us.
I couldn't do that whenever I played. I had to have batting gloves. And especially when it's cold. Remember that. Yeah. When it's cold and you hit I would use more than one batting gloves and use the thicker batting gloves because when you hit a ball off the end or you would get jammed, I would want to crawl in the dugout and cry like a baby. But I didn't because, you know, you wanted to be tough and not show off being a girl. But it is what it is. And I talk myself into doing it. That's what a player does. They talk themselves into doing it. And they say, this is going to work if you do it. And it's working. That's all it takes is you talking yourself into it.
So where do we go with Edwin now? You've got to talk about Edwin.
Do
he's
that.
Clearly going to be the American League.
Put four fingers up.
It's
the old Barry Bonds thing. You'd rather give up a walk him and with the bases loaded and give up one run instead of four runs. That's as hot as he is right now.
And what type of an effect do you think that'll have in Tulowitzki hitting behind him?
I think that's monstrous. It's again, I think putting him down in the lineup, people tend to forget about you. They think just because you're hitting fifth, sixth, or seventh, or maybe sixth and seventh, you're not that good of a hitter. And they tend to forget about you. They don't game plan as much for you, and they leave fastballs out over the plate. That's ultimately what John Gibbons is trying to get Troy Tulowitzki, is fastballs out over the plate, because you know he's hitting leadoff. They're trying to pound him in with everything, and when you're struggling, you have a real tough time getting the bat head out in front of the plate on time with everything working from the ground up. And maybe moving him down the lineup, they'll forget about him and he starts getting those fastballs. And again, it's a lot of fun to watch. If you're hitting behind Edwin, yeah, man, you're thinking, man, can I just go up and do a little bit of that?
And I asked John Gibbons yesterday, you know, how married was he to this idea of Ben Revere leading off? And he said, well, you know, this is done. And he was very clear. And Tulowitzki was very clear, too, that this move was made to get him going.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to John, okay, Tulo gets going. Do you look at moving him back to the top of the order? He said, probably.
Well, I take total credit for this right now. I'm going to take it right now.
We don't have that clip handy, do we?
Of him yelling at me?
Gibbons' reaction to probably not.
What do you think about that, Gibby? No, yes?
Hey, Bark, why don't you just not worry about it?
There you go.
Yes,
that's the answer
that's
I was looking for.
See, there you go.
There you go. That's Kevin Barker getting slammed by John Gibbons for his
only he could do
his
that
suggestion
to me.
That yes. Ben
Bark,
Revere.
Why don't you just not worry about it?
His suggestion that Ben Revere should lead off.
You're never going to let me live that down.
I think it's great. I think it's great. I think that's one of those clips that we're going to hear played an awful lot. Well, you know, anytime you're in the air, we're going to hear it.
Well, when you're 18 games above 500, you can basically say what you want.
You can have a lot of fun. David Price on the mound for the Jays tonight. First pitch at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet East Ontario, West and Pacific, Blue Jays Central 6:30. Campbell and Zahn will get you going. I'll be in primetime. We'll have a de facto pregame show right up to the start of the Jays game tonight. David Price against Danny Salazar. Here come the Indians. 16 and a half back, and 8-2 in their last 10. They're playing good baseball. They're playing good baseball right now. Not going to make the wild card. But I heard Zahn this morning on Sportsnet talking about the dangers of this matchup. Danny Salazar is a pretty good pitcher.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. I think the Blue Jays are that good, and I expect them to win at least two out of three of these games. If they don't, I think it's a very big disappointment. Right now, the Blue Jays, to me, are the best team in baseball. They do everything really, really good. And I think it's time we start saying that and expecting them to win most of these games against teams they should. I don't care if the Indians are coming in 8-2 and win five in a row. It doesn't matter to me. This is what the Blue Jays now we expect them to do, and I expect them to do this. And forget about all of these, you're running into a hot team. So are the Blue Jays. That's how good they are.
If they play 500 the rest of the way, if they go 16-16, they're going to have 90 wins. That's playoffs.
That's disappointing to me. I'm going to say it again. It's very disappointing. I don't know how many, because you can't sit here and guess how many games they're going to win, but – I expect them to win a lot more than, what'd you say, 16-16?
Yeah.
I expect them to win a lot more games than that because they're that good. Their defense is that good, and it takes them to the Cardinals level. And everybody's looking up the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Blue Jays are not too far away from that.
And, everybody, you know, people have this idea that since the Jays last went to the World Series in 1993, that, it's been just kind of one abysmal year after another. But, the fact of the matter is, this is a team that won, I'm just looking here, the most games they won 87 games in 2006. They won 86 in 2003. They won 95 in 1993, we said. So basically 88 in 1998. That's the high water mark for the Blue Jays since then, 1998, when they won. Where am I looking at this? Sorry, they didn't win that. 1998. Yeah, 1998, they won 88 games. That's the high water mark for the Blue Jays. So, I mean, it hasn't been a complete mess. But...
They have David Price, too.
They have David Price. It would be, I'm with you. I would think it would be entirely disappointing if this
team goes 16-16, 100% it is.
And,
if they lose 10 games, I'm going to say it right now, if they lose 10 games, that's pushing it.
If they go 22-10,
that's pushing it. Because they're that good.
That's fair.
I mean, this is one of those years
That'd be 96 wins.
Okay, well, why not? I mean, if you look at their stats, and I'm not going to read these things off, but they're basically first in everything mm-hmm. on both sides of the ball, mm-hmm. pitching and hitting since the All-Star break. It's time for us to start saying that they are this good.
David Price and Danny Salazar, that'll be the pitching matchup tonight as the Jays open a three-game series against the Cleveland Indians. 1 o'clock on Sportsnet, 590 The Fan on Sportsnet. We will carry Mark Shapiro's news conference live from Cleveland. He is the new president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. And when we come back, Jim Rosenhaus, Cleveland Indians play-by-play broadcaster, will join us. We'll ask him about Mark Shapiro. We'll ask him about the Indians. We'll have Barker Gosyard. Then we'll have the news conference. All that ahead. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central. Don't forget, we will have Blue Jays baseball tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sportsnet East Ontario, West and Pacific, the first of three between the Jays and the Cleveland Indians at the Rogers Centre. David Price on the mound for the Jays. Danny Salazar for the Cleveland Indians. At 1 o'clock today or thereabouts, we will carry live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet Mark Shapiro's news conference from Cleveland. Mark Shapiro, the new president, CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. That, again, will be at 1 o'clock or shortly thereafter. And Greg Brady of Brady and Walker will anchor our coverage. I'll be involved in it as well. And we'll have that on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And as I said, on Sportsnet as well. Lots to talk about regarding the Indians and the Jays on the field, first and foremost. But now also off the field as well. Jim Rosenhaus is a Cleveland Indians play-by-play man. And you can follow him at Indians Radio is his Twitter handle. Jim Rosenhaus joins us on Baseball Central. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, guys. Mm-hmm. Or afternoon, I guess it is now.
Let me
what's going on today?
not a whole hell of a lot, frankly. New president, stuff like that. Pennant race. Just another day in Toronto. Leafs haven't done anything today, though. Of course, they're not in camp yet. But as I said, just another day in Toronto. Tell us a little bit about Mark Shapiro. See, here's the thing. I know what his reputation is as a baseball guy. People in the industry speak really highly of him. I actually know his dad more than I know him. But Jim, here's where I have a little bit of a concern, and I'm hoping you can allay it. One of the big issues the next president of this team is going to have to deal with is the fact that this that the Rogers Center is an aging facility. We know that they're attempting to grow grass in it at some point in the next 3 years. That's going to require a major, major financial commitment from ownership in order to get that done. It's, I think, the seventh oldest stadium in baseball now. It's certainly not the crown jewel that it was once perceived as being. Now, in comes Mark Shapiro, and everybody's telling me, people like Ken Rosenthal and people in Cleveland, that, hey, this guy has done some good things at Progressive Field in Cleveland. You know, my only concern is, one, I love Jacobs Field. I mean, I thought it was, of all the cookie-cutter, I shouldn't say cookie-cutter ballparks, of all the new sort of back-to-the-future ballparks, I loved it. It seemed to me that the fixes that Mark was putting in were largely cosmetic, which is a lot different than what you're going to have to do here. So, for myself and for Jays fans who are wondering what this means for the Rogers Center, can you tell us a bit about what Mark Shapiro's vision for the stadium in Cleveland was and how he was able to pull it off or not pull it off?
Well, I think it for the most part, it's been a success. And I think where there's encouraging signs for the fans here is one of the huge positives is the right field entranceway. They completely changed it, opened it up where you have views of downtown and things like that. But what they did was they created what they call the right field district. And in that right field district, they've taken various very popular restaurants from different neighborhoods in the city of Cleveland and beyond and made those a part of this right field district. So you really get a flavor of the city and kind of connect the city to the ballpark and vice versa. And fans have loved it. There's a huge bar area there, and they have a ticket special, which I don't know. I'm guessing it would go over anywhere well, mm-hmm. where it's $13. You come in, you don't get a seat, but you get a standing room. And with that $13, your first drink is on the Indians. Mm-hmm. How can you go wrong there?
Sounds but it's pretty good.
Bar area. And what they said was in today's, and at least maybe it's different here, I don't know. But what they had determined just from extensive surveys for so many fans, especially the younger fans, to come and sit in the same seat for nine innings is not as appealing as being able to say, hey, to your buddies, I'm going to meet you down at the ballpark. We'll meet in the corner and we'll grab a couple of beers and watch the game through standing room and then some seating areas too that are more of a general admission type mm-hmm. thing. The Indians have to do something to boost their attendance. Obviously here, that's not an issue right now. So it may be something completely different, but I think what you'll see from Mark is he will take his time to get a feel for what works here and lean on people who are here to get a real good feel for what works and what might work down the road here before they do anything to this building.
Hey, Jim, is he the type of guy who is, do you think he's going to be comfortable not having a major say in, you know, in day-to-day baseball operations? In other words, you know, trades or anything like that. Is he, because he's only 48 years old. It doesn't strike me as a guy who's kind of willing to go quietly into retirement at this point. Do you think that he would be able to work with a guy like Alex Anthopoulos, who's a 24/7 baseball guy who sort of has his hands in everything?
I can only go by what I've seen here since 2010. That's when he became team president with the Indians. And I guess depending on who you talk to, he has very little or maybe a little bit mm-hmm. of input in terms of the acquisitions on the player front, but it's mainly Chris Antonetti. Now, I think Chris leans on Mark as a sounding board and uses him as someone with great experience in putting teams together. Absolutely, he leans on him. But for most of the deals, especially as Mark has gotten further away from the time when he was a general manager, those are Chris's deals, and he's had the final say. So I don't imagine it would be much different here. But again, I don't know.
Sure.
He's been very guarded, Mark has, about, you know, very respectful of the run that the Jays are on and not wanting to reveal plans or what's in store for the future until they see this thing through in both cities between now and the end of the season. So it's really hard to determine, but just based on how his relationship has been with Chris Antonetti, it's been Chris's ball club to run.
Jim, let me ask you about what's going on the field.
the Indians, obviously in the offseason, were the sexy pick to win the World Series, and they're 63-66. Obviously, they're playing a little better. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 5 in a row. What's going on with the Indians? Is there one thing that stands out to you that maybe has gotten them to where they're at now?
Well, early in the year, they really struggled to be a consistent offensive ball club, and it cost them games. There were just stretches where it was a real challenge to score more than 2 or 3 runs. And as you know, in the American League, it's hard to win that way. They made a bunch of moves right around the trade deadline before and after, and cleared out some of their higher priced veterans. And it looked like, I think from the outside, that they were raising the white flag. But what it did was it opened up some opportunities for some younger players who have brought some energy, some excitement. They've changed the way they played the game. And all of a sudden, they're scoring a lot more runs. The pitching has been there from day one, and it's gotten better as the season's gone along. So you're mixing a pretty good starting rotation with an offense that's capable now of putting some runs up, and they're having fun. It's a real good atmosphere. And I think early in the season, it wasn't a bad atmosphere, but you just felt like something was missing in that clubhouse. And whatever was missing, it's there now. The players really are enjoying coming to the ballpark and seeing where this thing could go. They don't feel that they're out of it yet with a little bit more than a month to go.
In conversation with Jim Rosenhaus, Cleveland Indians radio play-by-play voice, one of the interesting, I guess, side stories to the Mark Shapiro news is that we're led to believe that Terry Francona has an opt-out clause in his contract that he can exercise in the event that Mark does leave, much as Joe Maddon had a similar clause in his contract with the Rays when Andrew Friedman was there. Now, Jim, I like the Indians. I'm one of those people who thought the Indians were going to be a force in the postseason. But I look at a guy like Terry Francona. You've got teams like Washington, the Dodgers, kind of big market teams with a veteran mix. Teams that look like they need, certainly in the case of Washington, a guy who can come in, a seasoned manager, a guy with a track record of winning. I've got to think Terry Francona, if he wanted to be, could be a hugely marketable commodity in the offseason. Are you concerned at all that this might expedite the departure of Terry Francona from the Indians?
Well, a couple of things at play, and I was just downstairs here at the Rogers Center and actually asked Terry, now that the news has become official, about what it means. And he came here, it was a good job, and he stated right up front his relationship with Mark Shapiro and Chris Antonetti was a major reason why he came here. And he said, look, he signed a contract extension last offseason that could carry him through the 2020 season. And he said, look, yes, Mark is leaving, but what he's come to know over his 3 years here, he's really come to enjoy the people that he hadn't met before in the front office that have a big impact on what happens on the field. He had a good relationship with Chris Antonetti before. It's even better now, and Chris stays in place. And the other people in that front office who make this thing go, he's become very close to as well. So, yes, Mark is leaving. Yes, there's an opt-out there. But he said, look, I'm not – that's not a leverage thing. It's not something that he's looking at to take advantage of. He said it would be foolish for him to do that. He really enjoys Cleveland. It's where his dad played. It's where he grew up as a young kid. His dad is not that far away over in Pennsylvania now. So there's a lot of good there. And I know from the outside it looks like, hey, here's an opportunity for him to jump to a bigger market club. But personally, I think he's happy here, and he likes the direction this team is going in.
Jim, was great of you to join us today. I'll look forward to seeing you down at the park tonight.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. That's Jim Rosenhaus. It's Cleveland Indians radio play-by-play man. You can follow him on Twitter at Indians Radio. By the way, Nikki Thomas, a couple of people tweeted in, took offense to you calling, saying you felt like a girl when you took the gloves off.
I felt that way. That's the way I felt. It's not everybody. Everybody doesn't feel that way.
No, I think they were
saying
you have
to talk yourself into
it. I think they were saying,
in
other words, you shouldn't say that you feel like a girl. In other words,
I know that, but if you don't feel like you're going to succeed, you're probably not going to feel that way. That's why I didn't do it. That's what I was trying to get at.
So you weren't trying to say you weren't being pejorative about not feeling like girl or anything. Don't worry about it. Just wanted to make sure you threw that out there.
Yeah, yeah, not even close. It was, you know, you have to talk yourself into being good.
And yeah.
That's what that was all about.
Let's go to Barker Goes Yard. Yeah.
Batter up. It's time for Barker Goes Yard.
Fun times for the Chicago Cubs. Not just no hitters, but pajamas? What the hell's that about?
Well, yeah, Joe Madden, all of a sudden the Cubs are wrapping up that six-game West Coast trip, and Joe Madden said, well, why don't we just mix in some pajamas going home from Chicago or going home from L.A. to Chicago. He made his coaches wear a one-piece pajama suit, and the team was an optional kind of thing, but I thought that was pretty cool because it gets down to he says, I might have made a mistake because it was record high temperatures in L.A. Ooh. It was a little hot, so they were worried about the air conditioner from the bus to the airplane, but it worked out, and that's Joe Madden for you.
Pitch from Venditti, breaking ball, hammered, deep center field. That ball's going to go. Goldie, a two-run shot. And the Diamondbacks have a 6-2 lead.
There
it's
you
been
go.
A four-run inning.
It's one Barker Goes Yard.
Nice.
Vin Scully, the man, is back for 2016. Says it'll be his last year. No, it won't. He's going to be doing baseball till 2040, trust me.
Well, it would mark the end of his record 67-year tenure with the same franchise. That's a Hall of Famer announcer, turns 88 in November. How far are you away from working here for 67 years?
Swung on, high fly ball to left field. Back goes Frank Kluwer to the track at the wall. It is gone. A three-run home run by Jimmy Rollins, and the Dodgers take a commanding 5-0 lead.
Nice.
And finally, Jake Arrieta.
Well, why not? He's the first Cubs pitcher to post quality starts in 14 consecutive games since Greg Maddux did it in 1992. Arrieta joins Red Sox Joe Kelly as the only pitchers in MLB with 6 wins in August. He's the first Cubs pitcher to reach 17 wins since Ryan Dempster and your Ted Lilly in 2008.
My Ted Lilly.
And I have to say to that, John Lester who, but Joe Madden, get back to him. There's been 32 no-hitters since 2009. He's been a part of 7 of them since 2009, good or bad.
He swings and drills one to deep right.
Uh-oh.
It is high. It is far. It is gone. Stephen Drew. Now do you do?
Oh, my God.
Stephen serves a Drewski into the right field seats.
Oh,
and the Yankees
God.
Now have taken a 7-0 lead.
God help us. I know that John Sterling's not everybody's cup of tea, but
it's hard not to like it.
McCann. Still one of the great ones of all time.
Awesome.
That's it for Baseball Central today. Jays baseball tonight. The Red Hot Jays and the Indians from the Rogers Center. Stay tuned. Mark Shapiro's news conference in Cleveland will be next on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. So, for Kevin Barker and Jim Rosenhaus, not Drew Rosenhaus, although if he was here, he'd probably feel the same way. I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us on Baseball Central. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody.